J.C. Corcoran Podcast.
So does your wife watch any of these games with you? Does she?
No, she has the female complex multitasking brain. That's why they can't be happy. They just always, they're like, what is that lizard that can look at two things at once? That's what they're like. So they got the shoes they want, and then they see some other woman walking in going, oh, look at this skinny bitch over here. She thinks she's cute, right? And they, that's what I've learned.
Oh, God.
You know what makes women happy? Nothing. Nothing makes them happy, and that is why they are slowly taking over the NFL, because it annoys them that we can just sit there with, like, a pizza and a drink, like, that's not holding, and just be like, and enjoy ourselves. They're jealous how simple the male brain is, that you can just sit there and be entertained and find true happiness, and it just bugs them, so they gotta ruin it. And they're slowly taking over the NFL. They're gonna move us out, because I'm telling you, I don't understand why they keep trying to go into a male football league. It's like, why don't you guys band together and start your own league? Get your own thing going. But I realize they don't want their own thing. And I think it's because we're happy. We're just sitting there enjoying ourselves, having a good time without them. It drives them nuts. And they just got to go in there and ruin it. If my wife is having like three of her friends over, I screw. I leave. I don't need to be there and ruin it for her. I know you guys. I'm going to change the dynamic because I'm there and you can't talk about 100% female stuff. Out of courtesy, I'm going to get out of there. I'm going to leave.
But they can't do that, you're saying.
One guy, one chauvinistic jackass up there understands what I'm saying.
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over.
Monday, February 13th, 2023. 3 days until pitchers and catchers report to Jupiter, Florida. How you doing, kids? You are at jconline.com. This is the first edition of our 11 a.m. published podcast, and I will circle back here in a minute and tell you what's going on with the new radio station. And for those of you who are still going, well, wait a minute, what happened? Why are you on at 11? Well, we'll explain all that in just a minute. We'll get to all the Super Bowl stuff first. I don't know what people thought they were hearing last night with Chris Stapleton playing the Star Spangled Banner. I thought it was nice. It was fine. It was sort of nondescript. And maybe it's just, you know, maybe it's totally unfair to say it that way, because maybe it's just, you know, all the Super Bowl stuff is just so bloated and over the top ridiculous that when somebody like Chris Stapleton comes out, who is a tremendous, a tremendous musician, and he comes out and does something that's just sort of, I don't know, plain, not bombastic. I don't know what the opposite of bombastic is, but yeah, it just sort of, if I say nondescript, people are going to get mad. But you know what? People are mad anyhow. Everybody's mad today. They're mad about something. Either their team lost, their team got screwed by the officials. They're happy that their team won, but they're not happy because people are saying that they didn't win it fair and square. They thought Rihanna's Super Bowl halftime show was fantastic, but they're mad because they don't understand why everybody else doesn't think that way. You know, I put up the video last night of one part of Rihanna's show where she, I don't know, I'm assuming you saw it, but she reaches down and just rubs her snatch twice, and then reaches up and smells her fingers, and then gives a little wink to the people in the first row. That's entertainment. That's family entertainment right there. Oh, my God. Whatever you do, don't kneel to protest police violence, but go ahead and cruise the cooter and then reach up and give it a good sniff. Whatever. I actually had a couple of friends who were at the game last night, and I always wonder how the hell you get the tickets, because I've been to a couple of Super Bowls, but always as a member of the press. I mean, you look down, you go, well, who are these people that can afford tickets starting at $4,800? Who the hell are those people? I mean, I've sprung for concert tickets where you spend, you know, $300, $400 to get some good seats. But that's $300 or $400. That's not $4,800. I spent $1,500 on two seats in the second row behind the tarp down the left field line for the first night game at Wrigley Field so I could take my dad, who had started taking me to baseball games when I was 4 years old, and I just thought it would be something nice to do. So I spent the $1,500 and we saw a half an inning. Half an inning of baseball, and then we got rained on. But you know, all the pregame festivities and all the, you know, brought out some of the old players and just all the pomp and the circumstance, and then flipping the lights on and just all that. That was the best part of it. The game was incidental at that point. So people are like, "Oh God, you must just feel terrible that you spent all that money and you didn't see a game." It's like, no, not at all. I think we saw the best part of the evening. But again, that was $1,500. That was not $4,800. And if you think there's some sort of a gimmick or that the fix is in on tickets, well, yes and no. It's a free-for-all on Ticketmaster, and we know the Ticketmaster is corrupt from the moment you pick up the phone or get on your computer. This is why they're being investigated, and people like Amy Klobuchar and people like that, they're like, we're going to bust you guys up because you can't own the acts, the ticket service, and the venues. You can't own all three. And Ticketmaster and Live Nation aren't doing anything wrong. They're just taking advantage of a system that was allowed to get out of control. It's slightly immoral, but it's not illegal. So you can call the ticket distribution for the Super Bowl a free-for-all or not a free-for-all, depending on how you define free-for-all. Both teams, in this case Kansas City and Philadelphia, got access to 17.5% of the tickets. The host team, the Arizona Cardinals, got 5%. The remaining 29 teams got 34.8%, and the NFL got the rest at 25.2%. So, yeah, by the time the NFL takes its quarter cut and the teams take their 34% cut, and really it becomes a secondary market game. I mean, that's what the game is all about. It's those ticket services that just by their very nature are blocking out typical football fans. So people are like, well, you know, a billion people supposedly watching all over the world. I question that, by the way. You know why I question it? Because every year they say it's a billion people. There's no fluctuation, whatever, and it just seems like they've rounded off that number pretty easily. It's a billion. How about last year? That was a billion, too. A billion, too? I thought you said a billion. Well, a billion also. I don't know. Do you believe that? I don't. By the way, Cleveland, the only city with an NFL team that has not gone to the Super Bowl and not hosted. The other teams that have not gone to the game but are in cities that have hosted are the Lions, the Texans, and Jacksonville. Of course, if you want to count St. Louis, we got screwed, too. The NFL spent two years preparing the grass for the field at the Super Bowl. Yes, the stuff that everybody was slipping on. First of all, why does it take 2 years to come up with grass? And what was wrong with the grass they were using? You know, that Arizona Stadium is one of those places that uses natural grass, but the whole field is on rollers. And what they do is they roll the field out a little chute in the end zone, and it sits in the sun all day. And they can water it, and then when they're ready to use it, they push the button, and the rollers roll the thing back inside the stadium. It's a pretty brilliant idea, frankly. But I'm at a loss to explain why 2 years ago, somebody said we need special grass for Super Bowl 57. Why? And ultimately, whatever they did. And by the way, they only planted it 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks? The root systems are just barely taking hold at 2 weeks. What were they expecting? Something's not adding up here. We're not getting this whole story. You know, the grass was bad for both teams, so you have to take that into consideration. The grass was grown at a local sod farm in Phoenix. It was installed 2 weeks ago. The cost was $800,000. This year, Patrick Mahomes did four things. He won the MVP for the season. He won the Super Bowl MVP. He led the NFL in passing touchdowns and led the NFL in passing yards. Only three players have done that in their whole career. Mahomes did it this season. By the way, three players, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, and Kurt Warner, good guesses right there. And this is what I said going into the game. You know, people are like, well, who do you like? Well, you know, I like the Chiefs. I'd like to see the Chiefs win. But on paper, Philadelphia appears to be a better team. But there's that X factor in Patrick Mahomes. You know, he can just change an entire game with that aspect of him being Patrick Mahomes. So I'm really not surprised by what happened last night. They brought out Damar Hamlin, along with the medical officials who saved his life. They got a big standing ovation. As far as the commercials are concerned, I'm so over that. That's a dumb thing, the whole thing about the commercials during the Super Bowl. Here's how I look at it now. Because I used to be sitting there with a notepad and writing everything down. And at the end of the game, you're like, I haven't peed in like 7 hours. That's what you do when you're watching a football game. You wait for the commercials and then you go take a leak. Well, now you can't do that during the Super Bowl. That's bullshit. I'm just tired of the whole thing. So now what I do is I watch the game. When they go to commercials, I do what I do. And if something is happening on the screen that really catches my attention, which is one of the ways you judge a good television commercial, then I go, oh, look, they did a nice job on that. But at some point, you know, and you don't want to get behind. You don't want to hit the pause button on the DVR because then you're totally out of sync. And as a lot of people do during the Super Bowl, they're on social media. And if somebody makes some reference to something that you haven't seen yet because you're 20 minutes behind, so that doesn't work either. They made such a big deal out of that Alicia Silverstone thing from Clueless. And I thought that really laid an egg. Plus, you know, I don't feel the same way about her that I used to. She is a very, very weird person. I remember when her son was like 6 years old or something. She's one of those people who, you know, when it's dinner time, she chews up the food. She chews it all up in her mouth and then spits it into her son's mouth. No, that's not a prank. It's not a YouTube video. It's not anything like that. This is what she does. And she's into other weird stuff too. So I don't know what happened there, but I used to date a girl back in the late 90s who looked just like her, by the way. I thought it was a great idea to have Jeffrey Ross, who was the guy who's on all those Comedy Central roasts, and they did the roast of Mr. Peanut. It was a really, really good idea, but they botched the commercial. It didn't work. The Bradley Cooper thing, for some reason, that irritated a lot of people. People were yelling and screaming, complaining about that one. And I thought that the Grease thing with John Travolta and Zach Braff and Donald Faison, I thought that didn't work. It was sort of odd. And I go back and forth on the Tubi commercial that had everybody freaking out. It was like they thought it was The Sopranos all over again. Because what happened is they ran a commercial. If you didn't see it, they ran a commercial that looked like what happens when you accidentally sit on the remote and it just starts scrolling through channels and you're like diving for it going, I'm watching the Super Bowl. Well, it turns out that was the commercial. It made it look like that was happening. Now, that's one of those commercials where you're like, oh, you may have done more harm than good because all you did was alarm people. And if this little piece of paper right here that I'm reading from didn't say it was the Tubi ad, I wouldn't have even remembered. So I've already spent more time talking about the commercials than I should have. Again, we had jets flying over a domed stadium. Yeah, I know the roof was open, but the majority of people aren't going to see it. They're going to hear it. Boy, that's loud, by the way. If you've ever been at a game where they do the flyover, and again, here we go with the flyover. I'm not sure what it has to do with anything. It's a sporting event. National anthem is played. Why do we fly jets over the place? I have no idea. It makes no sense to me at all. Well, there's a billion people watching around the world, JC, and we want to display our military might. Oh, I think we've done that pretty well the last 100 years or so, especially the last 50. I don't think we have to reinforce the idea that if you piss us off, we will come in and bomb the living shit out of you. The national anthem of this country should be America the Beautiful. It should not be the Star-Spangled Banner. Star-Spangled Banner is sung to an old drinking song. And most people, if you really look at the lyrics, it sort of glorifies war. And if you say, oh, JC, that's bullshit. Okay, fine. It doesn't glorify war. I'll take your argument or counter-argument. But why wouldn't you want to have America the Beautiful? Oh, beautiful for spacious skies and amber waves of grain, purple mountains majesty above the fruited plain. America, America, God shed his grace on thee. So you get the God thing in there too. A lot of people need to have, you got to have a God reference in there, you know? and Crown Thy Good with Brotherhood from Sea to Shining Sea. That's a beautiful song. That's the song you want to represent the country that you live in. The lyrics are so much better, so much more effective, and so much more of really, isn't that what you want people to think about the United States of America? And isn't that what you want to think about it? As opposed to, you know, the bombs bursting in the air and then the whole thing with the flag. We have an unhealthy relationship with flags in this country. People will kill each other. People will kill each other over a piece of colored cloth. To me, that is indicative of an unhealthy relationship with a flag. And by the way, why is the ball going in the air at 5:45? Just gets late. It was 5:20, then it was 5:30 for a lot of years. They still said it was 5:30, but you know, no kickoff, no ball in the air until 5:45, and that's 6:45 Eastern. Jesus Christ, you've already had like a 6-hour pregame show. Why do you have to back up the thing? I'm disappointing myself because here I go back into the commercials again. But the Indiana Jones commercial for the new movie coming out, Harrison Ford is, what is he, 80 years old? Yeah, 80. So can you imagine Joe Biden doing all that all that fighting and flipping guys and punching guys out and jumping 70 feet from one thing to another? In the original Airplane movie, when Robert Hayes' character is walking into the airport, at the very beginning of the movie, if you look in the background, there's a movie poster and it says, like, you know, Rocky 66 or something. It's like this old man in boxing shorts with a pair of boxing gloves on. He's about 100. And see, we laughed at that because it's like, yeah, can't do that. But apparently Harrison Ford can. And the halftime thing, you know, when Rihanna comes out, it's like, well, she's pregnant. It couldn't be more obvious. And yet people still started arguing with me. No. She just had a kid. That's the baby weight. It's like, no. Your boobs don't bulge out like that after you've had a baby. Once you've stopped breastfeeding, she's pregnant. And finally, after the performance, she said, I'm pregnant again. And for those of you who are pulling for Philly and you're still caught on that, what a lot of people are calling a phantom holding call. First of all, he did hold him. He admitted it in the post-game press conference. He's like, yeah, I was holding on. I was hoping they would let it go. But that is not why Philadelphia lost. Philadelphia lost because Kansas City scored 24 points in the second half. And the Eagles would probably be the first ones to tell you that that's why they lost. Now, all I know is pitchers and catchers report on Wednesday, and that's where my focus is now. All right, let's backpedal now and talk about the new radio station. This morning, earlier today, was the day that I was supposed to take the controls of the station. I wasn't going to really do anything. There's a very sophisticated system that we use, particularly when you're sitting 850 miles away, where you link to the radio station and you can control everything from a remote location. Well, it's a good thing we've been referring to this as a soft opening because it didn't work today. But it'll probably work tomorrow. They have a good support system, you know, when you have tech questions. So I'll be doing that today, and I'm sure this will all be cleared up. And then hopefully be doing the first show in a couple of days. We have not turned on the 101.5 signal yet. It's still just 101.7 in the Westplex. The 101.5 signal will go on literally any day. Could even be today. I don't even know. But I will let you know, I promise. It's not like something's going to be going on. You're going to be, oh, nobody told me. No, we'll take care of you. And it's just a matter of, you know, learning the system and be familiar with all the software and everything so that, you know, I can do this so that it sounds like what you're accustomed to hearing from me. Nothing's easy, folks. Nothing's easy. And it's like they always say, anything worth really having is worth fighting for. Speaking of soft openings, and by the way, especially as far as men are concerned, who among us is not looking for a soft opening? Good morning, everybody. So, when you debut a new radio station, you go, boom, here it is. Or you can do what we're doing, which is sort of to back into it a little bit. You know, just sort of ease into things. And like I said, it's a good thing we are because my system didn't work today. So, anyhow, we went to a soft opening of a new restaurant on Saturday. It's a place that we've been hearing about for a long time, and it's supposed to be really good, and it's a, you can tell that it's a beautiful building. And we went on Saturday for lunch, and we were there was only about 8 or 9 people in the place, and we were really, really getting fawned upon, which is nice because they're, you know, the management is watching the employees. These people are being trained with live bodies for the first time. It's sort of exciting, to be honest with you. So we go in there, and I wouldn't call it upscale, but I would say it's approaching upscale. And against my better judgment, I decided to order a steak sandwich. Now, the problem with steak sandwiches is you never really know if the restaurant is going to remove fat and grizzle from the... by the way, I think that's the new morning show on The Point, isn't it? Fat and Grizzle?
I'm fat.
I'm Grizzle.
Good morning, St. Louis.
But, you know, when I order a steak sandwich, there's nothing more disappointing than biting into it and just getting a mouthful of stuff that you have to spit out on the plate. I hate that. But I figured, well, they're probably showing off today, so I'm going to go ahead and order a steak sandwich. Well, the thing arrives, and it sure didn't look like a steak sandwich to me because instead of a, oh, you know, like a half inch or a 3/4 inch thick piece of meat, this was like sliced beef. I'm like, that's not a steak sandwich. So the owner comes over, or not the owner, but the head chef, he comes walking over at some point and says, so what did you order? I said, well, I ordered a steak sandwich, but, and he looks at it, he goes, that's not a steak sandwich. I go, that's what I thought. So he's like, well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to give you a steak sandwich to take home and pick something from the dessert menu. I'll give you that too. I'm like, oh, that's very nice. So sure enough, he brings over a steak sandwich a couple of minutes later. Steak sandwiches don't travel well, but still, it was a nice gesture. And I said, well, you know what? You've got key lime pie on the menu here. And man, oh man, I love a good key lime pie. I don't eat it very often because I need to lose weight and I don't usually eat desserts. If I have dessert, it's fruit. You know, sometimes they'll give you a little thing, a little bowl of raspberries and blueberries and strawberries. And that's my dessert. I would love to sit there and eat pie all day. If I could just eat cherry pie and apple pie and pumpkin pie, I would do it all day. I love dessert. I can't afford to have it. And I don't mean from a price standpoint. It's just no good for my big old fat gut. So, but you know what? But under the surface, yeah, I'll take a piece of key lime pie. Okay, great. Waiter comes over a couple of minutes later. They brought the steak sandwich earlier, and now they bring the little box, and I get it home. It's cheesecake. It's cheesecake. It's not key lime pie. So apparently this restaurant has hired people who don't know the difference between a steak sandwich and a sliced beef sandwich and don't know the difference between cheesecake and key lime pie. And now you start thinking to yourself, well, is it my job as part of, you know, a participant in this soft opening? Am I doing them any favors by not telling them that they screwed up two things? Or should I just be happy and take what I have? And I'm thinking, no. I mean, they're not going to learn if you don't tell them the mistakes they made. But in the deep recesses of my mind, I start hearing the Curb Your Enthusiasm music. I'm like, I'm going to end up in some sort of international incident here. And so I just kept it to myself. This place may have difficulty. But again, they call these things soft openings. I even said to the guy, I said, because I have lots of restaurateur friends in St. Louis, a lot of them, and I have had a lot of them over the years. And to a man, they will say, oh yeah, I don't think I've ever opened a restaurant before where there wasn't paint still drying while people were walking in. And so I said to this guy, I go, are you guys ready? He goes, hell no. So you learn something about the actual definition of the term soft opening. Apparently, it's, you know, pretty loosey-goosey. So if you're hearing me talk about the new radio station, you're like, Jesus, JC, it sounds a little disorganized. It's like, well, we don't have a big corporation behind us with tons of employees and management and technical advisors and money. This is a you know, sort of an organic, local, sort of almost neighborhood operation we're putting here together. And I think when you actually hear it on the air, you'll go, you know what? I hear what you're doing there. And I think it'll finally make sense to a lot of people. So, like I said, we're getting there. And now, KMOV Sports Authority.
Live from the KMOV Broadcast Center, this is News 4 This Morning, watching out for you.
Well, coming up on News 4 This Morning, Chip Corea is set to take over at Bally Sports for Cardinals play-by-play. Chip Corea.
Ah, you can't win them all, sweetie. Oh, and somebody wanted to hear this again, because football's over now. All right, football's over. I know the Battle Hawks are going to be playing and everything tonight, but the NFL is done.
And what can we do to silence these Christian athletes who thank Jesus whenever they win, never mention his name when they lose? Not a word. You never hear him say, Jesus made me drop the ball. The good Lord tripped me up behind the line of scrimmage. According to these guys, Jesus is undefeated. Meanwhile, these assholes are in last place. Must be another one of those miracles.
Burt Bacharach died since we last spoke. I am among the group that still is scratching our collective heads wondering what the big deal was. The songs were awfully simple, but to be honest, my gripe really isn't with Burt Bacharach. It's with Hal David, the guy who wrote the lyrics. So they work sort of like, I guess, like Elton John and Bernie Taupin. You know, one guy does the music, the other guy does the lyrics, but raindrops keep falling on my head, and just like the man whose feet are too big for his bed, nothing seems to fit. He wrote that lyric, it became a million seller, and nobody called bullshit. Nobody called bullshit and said, wait a minute, is this a common problem? And what does it mean that somebody's feet are too big for their bed? You sort of phoned that one in, Hal, didn't you? And also, you know, one of the other reasons I was never crazy about Burt Bacharach and Hal David is because of Dionne Warwick. Dionne Warwick is being treated like some sort of musical icon. And yeah, I mean, she's had a successful career, but it's amazing how people just select things to not remember about somebody. Let's talk about in the early 1980s, numerology, where Dionne Warwick, whose last name is spelled W-A-R-W-I-C-K, added an E to her name, legally had an E added to her name. You know why? Because of numerology. Because some goofy numerologist sat there and said, you know, it would be better for your relationship with the universe if you had one more letter in your name. And she said, I can do that. I can do that. And so all of a sudden it was Warwick with an E on the end. And then after a couple of years, that E just sort of like disappeared. Who the fuck does that? And number two, has everybody forgotten the Psychic Friends Network? So it's late 80s, you turn on your TV, and there'd be one of these infomercials, and some, like, you know, Jamaican woman sitting on a cheap set during an earthquake is just, you know, making shit up. You call her up, and the longer you spend on the phone, the more money it costs. And it was the whole thing was a sham, and it was clearly, clearly directed at poor black people. And so Dionne Warwick, who had a very successful career, not denying that, I'm just saying she's got all the money in the world, and she's taking money, fistfuls of money, sacks full of money, from poor black people who think they're going to get on the phone, and this woman sitting there with some sort of giant Carmen Miranda headdress on, saying, oh yes, you're going to meet the man of your dreams, man. People just have all forgotten about that. I'm sorry, to me, that spells out crackpot. C-R-A-C-K-P-O-T-E. On this date, 1984, after receiving hate mail from the mayor of Buffalo, New York, Jimmy Griffin, and hate mail from the McDonald's Corporation, who didn't like the fact that Ray Kroc, their fearless leader, had passed away, and we were talking about the McFuneral and the McWake, and just, you know, stupid, infantile, juvenile jokes just designed to make 30-year-old men laugh. Weren't hurting anybody. But McDonald's, the Catholic Church, and the mayor of Buffalo all applied so much pressure to the general manager of 97 Rock in Buffalo that I finished the show on this date in 1984, and I'm standing at the urinal in the men's room, and the general manager walks up behind me and says, JC, that's going to be it, okay? We're letting you go. And what I should have done is, in shock and disbelief, just whirled around. What? and then just peed all over his pants leg.
But I don't do things like that. Do you?
So I got the hell out of there and came to St. Louis. The rest is history.
Oh, I want to play you one more thing having to do with the whole concept of a soft opening. And again, when you're launching a brand new radio station and everything, you move into a one bedroom apartment, okay? You're going to have one light switch that doesn't work, okay? Now amplify that by trillions, because you have transmitters and broadcast operations and control boards and digital computers and all sorts of software and microphones and little lights connected to stuff that I don't even know what it does. And you have all that stuff going on. You move into a one-bedroom apartment, something's got to work, the garbage disposal, whatever. You try to put a new radio station on the air, trust me, a soft opening is really, really a good idea. And we will, as I said, over the next couple of days here, eventually we'll flip on that 101.5 to go along with the 101.7 of the Westplex. And we'll start start easing into this whole thing. With all that in mind, I was thinking about that over the weekend, and it brought up part of my conversation with Richard Dreyfuss.
I guess it was Premiere Magazine a couple of years ago on the 20th anniversary of the release of Jaws. They did a whole retrospective on the movie and went into these stories of chaos on the set of this movie. Just absolutely chaos. I think you may have had some quotes in there. Spielberg was heavily quoted. Just tell me a little bit about what you remember pertaining to that experience. And did you, at some point during that summer, see your life passing before your eyes?
I didn't. I actually had a great time because I was, in a sense, a very interested and happily entertained observer to the whole thing. This was not going to make or break my life as it would perhaps for Steven or other people involved. So it was a great entertainment. It was a great saga. But it was a film, a huge film, that was started, in a sense, without a script, without a cast, and without a shark. And you can just extrapolate from there.
It's pretty bad if you don't even have the shark, and that's the star of the movie.
Then everything else is like falling down a flight of stairs. Bum, bum, bum.
They didn't even have the shark when they started making Jaws. All right, with that in mind, that is the J.C. Corcoran Podcast for Monday, February 13th, 2023, 3 days until pitchers and catchers report to Jupiter, Florida. This is our new time that we post the podcast to make room for the new morning show in St. Louis that we'll fill you in on as soon as we are able. I'm as frustrated as you. Don't worry about it. Anyhow, so spread the word, please, of all this shit I'm doing, and we'll talk to you in the morning. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.